Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise. Father, we thank you for a portion of health and strength, minds that sane and stayed on thee. Thank you for being our provider, our power in our times of weakness, and our protection. Father, here we are asking you for preaching power and preaching grace. Counsel out every strategy and scheme of the enemy that nothing will hinder your word from going forward. Lord, as your word is sent out by you, it will accomplish all that you have set it forth to accomplish. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for these, your people. We pray now that you give us oneness. Lord, pulpit pew and those that are a part of the virtual congregation. Lord, we pray that your word will reach them and reach those of us who are here. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what you have to say to us today. And our hearts a willingness to live out your word, that you will be pleased with our life and living. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the honor, praises, and glory. As always, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and our sinfulness, that we'll be fit vessels to be used by you. Glorify yourself in the preaching. Lord, as we set forth good works, that other men will give you glory. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God has blessed us and allowed us this privilege of being present in this place. It's good to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in him we live, move, and have our being. The word of God says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. If you got breath in your body, give God a praise. Come on, not just patty cake. God deserves praise. Come on, come on. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. What a great day it is to be in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. God has blessed us beyond our prayers and beyond enumeration. Certainly thank God for the privilege of sharing in this ministry with these preachers, Reverend McCoy, Reverend Skipper, Reverend Mims, any other preachers here. Amen. Certainly to this melodious singing choir and the ladies, the women that devoted our hearts this morning, thank you for your diligence and your duty. Amen. Come on, bless God for them. The Environmental Safety Committee, and bless God for all of you that are here. It's just good for us to be here. Amen. Let me say that again. It's just good for us to be here. Amen. It's something about being in the house of the Lord that's special. Amen. God manifests his supernatural ability and his supernatural presence. When the saints of God come together, he says, wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. And when he is present, he makes the difference. I don't care what's going on in your life, he makes the difference. Amen. Thanking God for his presence, and we want him to manifest himself. The word of God says when the praises go up, God inhabits the praises of his people. That simply means that he will pull up a chair and sit among us. Amen. And I want God to be here today. Amen. So as we praise him today, God will pull up a chair and sit among us. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you are turning, there is word from Sister Rogers, Lady Rogers. She expresses her thanks and appreciation for the cards, the calls, the prayers that you all have sent her way. And She says thank you, and she's raring to get here so she can express her gratitude to you herself. And she wanted me to say to you thank you, and as being an obedient husband, amen, she said thank you. Amen. Thank you. And I certainly share the sentiments of Lady Rogers. You didn't have to, but you did. And thank you much. Thank you much. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ, stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, now this is the shout verse, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As God's word for God's people, God's word is blessed. Look at somebody and say, Jesus, our new life. We are new creation in Christ. You may be seated. Verse 17 begins with the word, therefore. Therefore is there for a reason. It serves to link together what Paul had said previously in verses 11 through 16 with what he's saying in verses 17 through 21. In verses 11 through 21, Paul was defending his authority as an apostle and people's criticism of him. He was saying to them that he was ministering to others out of pride. It was not of the flesh, but it was because of the inward change that had taken place in his life. But y'all remember Paul when he was Saul? He was against the church. He went with orders from the council to arrest the believers of Christ. And while he was en route to arrest saints, Jesus Christ met him on the road of Damascus. He saw the light and he heard the voice. And he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. He never forgot what he saw and what he heard. He experienced salvation. God snatching him out of serious peril. He experienced inward change that began to reflect itself on the outside. Salvation. And he spent the rest of his life preaching and teaching Christ to help other people experience the same change. You that have been saved, what has happened on the inside of you is too good for you to keep to yourself. If you really been saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will spend the rest of your days telling other people about Jesus who has changed you. It is Paul in 2 Corinthians challenges the Christians at Corinth to see life through the paradox of the cross. Through the cross and the Spirit of God, we receive power to live transformed lives. God's power is brought to us through Jesus Christ, and it is brought in our weaknesses, not in our strength. If you trace the pen of Paul, by the time you get to chapter 12, Paul begins to rejoice about God's power being manifest in his weakness. That he would rather glory in his weaknesses, that the power of God might be manifest. So we're not saved by our own strength, because our strength is frail, fickle, and fragile. But we are saved by the power of God expressed through Christ on a hill called Calvary. That he wants us to see life through the paradox of the cross. Here it is, a man dying on the cross to give us life. That his death brought us life. And we are saved. We are saved through the sacrificial work, the sacrificial work of Christ on Calvary. Listen, if you don't rejoice over anything else, you ought to rejoice over what God has done for us through Christ. Let me remind you of how Paul closes this particular chapter in verse 21. He says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Here it is. God, he took our sin and put it in Jesus' account. And Jesus took our sins to a hill called Calvary and paid the price for our sins. But then he took Jesus' righteousness and put it in our account. The right for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust. If you don't shout over anything else, you ought to shout over the fact that Jesus stood in your place and he stood in your stead and he paid the price to make you new. I'm new. Every blood bought, every child of God, every adherer to the cross of Calvary is new. You ought to look at somebody and say, I'm new. I'm new. I'm new. In Christ, brothers and sisters, we are a new creation. Verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are new. All things are new. Understand several things about the new creation. First of all, notice the possibility of the new creation. He says, therefore, if. I'm waiting on y'all to catch up. Therefore, if is a conditional particle. It mentions conditions or circumstances upon which certain consequences follow. The word if denotes our responsibility to God. In other words, if is on our side and never on God's side. See, it's not a question about what God has done and what God wants to do. The question is always on us. It's not if God. Because God has already. Y'all missed it. It's if. If. Any man, if man, it speaks of the conditions of God's promises. The conditions for God's promises. God has laid everything we need before us. But he doesn't make you take it. He puts it there. And he says, if you want it, here are the conditions to receive it. It's possibility and chance. If is always followed by then. If you confess the Lord, then you're saved. If you confess your sins, then you are forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. So then is a conditional particle. It denotes our responsibility to God. If we, then we receive the promises of God. If we, then God. You sitting as if you waiting on God. No, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. If the possibility of the new creation. I want things to change in my life. I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to stop doing some of the things I do. That's right. God says, okay. Here are the conditions. If you adhere to the conditions, then I'll make you new. Possibility. possibility of the new life. But then notice the people of the new life, if any man. No matter the ethnicity, no matter the age, gender, nationality, language, education, color, the gospel of Christ is for anyone. Literally, any man can become a new creature through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't care what your past was. I don't care what you used to do. I don't care who you used to be. I don't care what you used to be caught up in. When you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, what God does is erases all of that other stuff. He makes you a better person. He makes people look at you and wonder and say, how is it this person is new? It's because God is on the inside of you. Listen, if it happened to you, if it happened to you, if it happened to you, it can happen to anybody. And he's able to do it because that's his power to do it. If any man. We got to stop putting limits on people and restraints on people that only certain people can be saved. No, if certain people hear the gospel, they can be saved. Yes, they can be saved. And any and everybody else outside of our social circles can be saved. I don't care what they caught up in. I don't care how low their life is and their living is. God can change them. Look at somebody and say, if he gave me a chance, he'll give them a chance. You looking at a miracle. You looking at a black sheep. You looking at somebody people said will never make it. But oh, look at me now. Oh, God has got rid of the old stuff. You know, when you run across people and they say, well, you used to do. I'm glad I used to, because that's not who I am now. I'm somebody new now. Look at somebody and say, you're looking at a new somebody. I'm new. People, any man. Any man. We look at people and we say they're beyond salvation. Especially if they've been caught up in what they've been caught up in a long time. We say they are beyond salvation. But Paul says, any man. I'm thankful that he said any man, because I sure qualify for an any man. Do I have other any mans in here? I know that ain't good in English. I didn't say men, but any mans in here? Do I have any women in here? Any womans in here that don't mind testifying that God, you thank God that he said, if any man. That I didn't have to be of a certain social status, a certain economic status. I didn't have to be born a certain ethnicity. He says, any man. Paul said in Galatians 3, 7 and 8, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering? That God is not short-fused? That God is not short-tempered? tempered, but God suffers long with us because it is his will, it is his desire that none perish. God has sent out his word to every man, to every woman, to every ethnicity, to every age, to every gender, to every nationality, every language, every educational status of a man, every color. And he says the gospel of Jesus Christ can save you. The people of the new creation. The possibility of the new creation. But watch the position for the new creation. Any man can be saved, but not all men are in Christ. Let me say that again. Any man can be saved, but not all men are in Christ. The position for the new creation is in Christ. Notice the word in. The word in Greek, it's en, which denotes a permanent position. In other words, in is more than a casual run-in or a getting together with Jesus Christ on the weekend. The position is not a one-day stand or a weekend shindig. In denotes fixity. That Paul was telling the believers of Corinth, they were fixed in Christ. Notice the phrase, to be in Christ means to be united with Christ by faith. The meaning denotes the more tender and close union with Christ. The best illustration I can think of in scripture is what Jesus said in John chapter 15 when he says, I am the true vine and you are the branches. That as long as we abide in him, we have life. And if we are cut from the vine, we wither and die. If any man be in Christ, in abiding in John 15, Jesus uses the word abide 10 times in the first 11 verses to stress the importance of being in. Living in, being connected to, abide, 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 abide in Christ. Live in Christ. What happens when we are in Christ? It is, he makes us new. The Bible says he is, not he was. He is a new creature. I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. Not he was. He not he's going to be. But he is. So new never gets old. New never gets to use status. You know, when you go to a lot, you can buy types of cars. You can buy a new or a used. But when it comes to us, we're never classified as you. And the new never becomes old. So I'm new today. I was new yesterday. I was new last week. I was new last year. I was new since the day I became a child of God. And I never stopped being new. Listen, you are new. Don't you let people treat you like you old. You new. You are a new creation. New. New creation. The word krenos in Greek, and it means not new in terms of numerics, but new in terms of quality. He has made me better. I'm new. In other words, Christ gives believers new quality of life. The creation is not new in the physical sense. It says, well, I went in the water and it chilled my body. But when I came out, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. And they said, oh, what a change has come over me. But the truth is, when I came out, I looked at my hands and they were the same old hands. I got to the house and I pulled my shoes off thinking I was going to have a changed set of feet. Looked at my feet and they were the same old feet. The change didn't happen on the outside. The change happened on the inside. Now what he did was he changed my heart, and my heart changed the direction of my hands and the direction of my feet. Is there anybody in here can be a witness that God has changed you on the inside? It's a better you because you got a heart change. It's a better you because you got a mind change. It's a better you because you got an attitude change. And your attitude determines your actions and your aptitude, because he has made you new. You got a new attitude and now you on a whole different level. You are not where you used to be. You used to be down in the muck and the mud clay, but now you are like an eagle. You are flying and you are soaring and you are higher than you have ever been because of the change that has taken place on the inside of you. He has given you a new inside. He has renovated you on the inside. He has performed surgery to take out that heart of stone, to give you a heart of flesh. The change is on the inside of you. And he says, old things have passed away. Behold, I got some new thing. I put out the old furniture. What I used to rely on and relax in, I put it out. I used to be a cursor. Profanity. Put out. I used to have a nasty attitude. I used to be stingy. I used to be hateful. I can't come over here yet because I still got some old furniture. I used to be ungodly and a scorner. I had to put out that old furniture because some new stuff got to be brought in. And when I put out the hate, he brought in love. When I put out the being a scorner, I became an evangelist. When I put out this ungodliness, I became godly. I brought in some new furniture. When I put out Satan's spirit, the Holy Spirit came in. And anytime a supernatural being like the Holy Spirit come and reside in the natural man, you ought to see some supernatural things in his life. New position. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. His spirit is in me. But he is the last thing, and I'm finished. There's purpose for making me new. You want to know why you saved and you remain? Because he could have saved you and called you home. You want to know why you're still here? Why COVID, cancer, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, hypertension hadn't taken you out? It is. He gives you purpose. You here because of purpose. The new purpose is denoted in verses 18 through 20. He says, your purpose is to reveal Christ. Verse 18, you have the ministry of reconciliation. Wait a minute. You don't have a ministry unless you've been reconciled. Let me say that again. In verse 18, your ministry is reconciliation. But you can't help people experience what you have not experienced yourself. If you have not been reconciled, you don't have the ministry of reconciliation. Well, let me tell you what reconcile means. It means to change from enmity to friendship. God exercising his grace towards sinful men on the grounds of the grace of Christ and the atoning work of Christ on Calvary. The reason we are at peace with God is because of the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. If you have not received the sacrificial atonement, work of Christ, you have not been reconciled. Therefore, you don't have a ministry of reconciliation. But if you have received what Christ has done on Calvary, when he hung, bled, and died, he was buried and put in a borrowed man's tomb, and when he came out with all power, heaven and earth in his hand, if that's your testimony, if that's your faith, you are reconciled. There's peace with you and God. Listen, you know the goodness of the Lord. You are like the psalmist, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And listen, when you have something good, when you taste something good, you got to go and tell somebody else. You got to tell them how good he is and what good he has done in your life, how he picked you up and turned you around and planted your feet on solid ground, how he healed your body, and how he brought you from a mighty long way, how he put bread on your table and shoes and clothing on your body, how he gave you a mind that's sane and stayed on thee. Listen, the more of his goodness you receive, the more you got to tell it. You can't keep it to yourself. It's like the man Jesus healed and said, don't go tell anybody. He had a case of the can't help it. If there anybody in here that got a case of the can't help it, God's been too good for you to sit quiet. God's been too good for you to close your mouth and be hushed. God's been too good for you to sit there like
like you don't know it. God has brought you out of too much not to give him a praise. You got a ministry of reconciliation. You got to go and tell somebody. You're an ambassador because you've been saved. You got to go and tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for you. He has done too much for me to sit as if I hadn't received any good from his hand. He has saved my soul. He has made me whole. He woke me up this morning. He woke me up this morning and started me on a new day. Let me say that again. He saved my soul. And this morning he woke me up and started me on my way. And because I'm a child of God, I got to run and tell somebody about the goodness of my daddy. My daddy, God. My father is good. He's so good that he sent his only begotten son to die in my place. That's why Paul closes out by saying, he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus, you know him, don't you? Jesus, you know him, don't you? Jesus, who came down through 42 generations, landed in a lonely place called Bethlehem, that walks the dusty streets of Galilee, who healed the sick, raised the dead. You know him, don't you? Jesus, who opened blinded eyes and unstopped deaf ears. Jesus, the Son of God, who was arrested with thirsty in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was marched from judgment hall to judgment hall. Never said a mumbling word. He was taken from judgment hall. And one Friday they put an old rugged cross on his shoulders. And he was marching up the Via Dolorosa. And he was stumbling as he went along. But that didn't stop them from crucifying him. Y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? Jesus, he finally made it to Calvary, where they laid him down on that cross and nailed his hand and riveted his feet and raised him between two thieves, put a crown of thorns on his head to mock what he said. But thank God that Jesus stayed on that cross. He hung on that cross for 6 long hours, 3 in the light and 3 in the darkness. And at the end of the second 3, he dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders. He died out on Calvary. But I thank God that's not the end of the story. They put his lifeless body in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in the tomb Friday night. He stayed in the tomb Saturday morning. He stayed in the tomb Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, if you know he got up, you ought to get up out of your seat and thank God for Jesus that he got up Sunday morning with all power heaven and earth in his hand. Let me ask you my question just one more time. Ain't the Lord all right? Let me hear you say
the door of the Lord's house stands ajar. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. I have a ministry of reconciliation. I have a word of reconciliation. I am an ambassador of Christ. I represent him. You represent him in the earth. And our message is of Christ and him crucified. And every heart who hears and receives the message of reconciliation is saved and given the ministry of reconciliation. I'm new, never old. Every day I'm new. I'm never classic, I'm never antique. I'm never used. My life will never fit those particular classifications. I'm new. Listen, when you know you're new, you got to stop letting Satan blackmail you. Bringing up old stuff in your life. Stop letting people blackmail you. You're not who you were on yesterday, because God is doing a work in your life every day. That salvation is a completed work, but yet a continued work on us. We're justified past. We are being sanctified as present. He's working on us day after day. He's washing us. He's making us new. God still feels the same way he felt about us when we first got saved. The excitement, the enthusiasm in the heart of God is not wearing, because we are new every day. That's a word for somebody. We're new every day. And that's how we ought to treat each other, new every day. Stop bringing up folks' past. You're busy trying to hide chores. Stop bringing up folks' past. They are new if they are in Christ. Old things are past. They know what they used to do. But it's past. You bringing up stuff happened 20 years ago. If I had time, I would talk about something. God has got rid of our past. And who are you to keep bringing it up? I'm new in Christ. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come. Receive the reconciliation. Receive the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, so you can be reconciled unto God. And then you will receive the ministry of reconciliation. Secondly, if you're here and you need to be restored, come. Come. The Lord wants to do that in your life today. But it's if you come. If you come. If you do what's required of you, God will do what he has promised. There's never a question of God. The question is on our side. Thirdly, you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist on your heart. This is where you're supposed to be. Come on. Come on. Come on. Bless you, sister. Bless you, sister. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. The greeters are coming. The greeters are coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. The doors of the Lord's house stand ajar. Those of you who are watching virtually, you can also respond to the invitation. You can write us at the address that will be put on the screen. We would love to hear from you, that you would be a part of our church and what God is doing here at New Bethlehem Baptist Church. We are the NBBC mission, and God has put us in the land to be ambassadors of Christ. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Sister Candy Beal, thy Christian experience. Amen. That means that you have already received Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, what we want to do is share with you orientation information that we have put together so that we have the foundation. And we build on that foundation through the lessons that we have put together. It's a total of 4 classes. And we want you to be a part of the orientation. Get with Sister Tanja Kelby, the secretary, and let her know when it's good for you during the week. And we will share that time with you with the lessons. All right? Father, we thank you for the power of your word, how you have drawn this sister to this body of Christ, to your people here that you have placed in Bessemer at the New Bethlehem Church. We pray now, Father, that you, Lord, make us one, that the world may know you have sent your Son. Give us unity of spirit. Give us peace among each other, that we can share in the wonderful things that you have done for us through Christ Jesus. Forgive us sin, make us anew each and every day, and we will be a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, as you are standing, just a quick reminder. Today kicks off our Christmas drive. You can give your donations if you're writing a check. Please write a check with the four. On the 4th, say Christmas Drive. If you are giving through the Giblify app, we have a tab that says Christmas Drive. You can hit that tab and give your gift. Listen, we have a goal of $15,000. I've heard a lot of positive feedback that we will exceed the $15,000, and I hope we do, so we can be a blessing to more people. If we do, we will still do the 5 to St. Jude, 5 to the Ronald McDonald House, and all the other will go to blessing people within our community. So I hope we do. We have a wonderful committee put together who will search out those needs to make sure that we are a blessing as God has commanded us. Listen, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. And thank you for your reception of God's word. Lord, we thank you today for what our eyes have seen, our hearts have received. Lord, we thank you for the manifestation of your presence. We thank you for our sister, Sister Bea, who has come to be a part of this body. Thank you for prevenient grace. Thank you for, Lord, ordering her steps. We pray now that you bless us and grow us as you are grooming us to be the church that you will have us to be in these last and evil days. Lord, unto your name we give all the glory, praise, and honor. Now, may your grace, peace, love, communion of your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. Amen. Be blessed today.